Live from around the world, it's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one frontline travel news journalist. Get on the phone now and call 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome aboard another edition of Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Hope you're having a wonderful fourth weekend in January. Hard to believe January this year has five weekends, but it does, wherever you happen to be. Most of the time we tell you we jump on planes and crisscross the country. Well, we're actually coming to you from the middle of the ocean. That's right. Get out your maps, boys and girls. 26 degrees, 32 minutes north, 77 degrees, 3 minutes west. We are headed between an out island in the Bahamas and Port Canaveral, Florida, on board the brand new Disney Dream on its inaugural cruise. We're taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. Lots to get through this week, of course, in the news. Airlines continuing to raise fares. Airlines continuing to beat us up. The statistics just came out on the winners and losers on best airlines in the Wall Street Journal. What a surprise. Southwest and AirTran, number one. American, United, and Delta, well, at the bottom of the pack. And most of it's because of what? Ancillary fees and nickel and diming. What a surprise. It had to do with weather. It didn't have to do with delays. It happened to do with the perception, real or imagined, that people are getting hosed. Lots of stuff to talk about with that. One other little item here for you guys, if you want to go on YouTube and see a very funny, interesting, and perhaps even entertaining debate, yours truly with Bill O'Reilly on the current situation in Mexico. A little mano-a-mano action. Just go to YouTube and look under O'Reilly Greenberg Mexico, and you'll see it. Bill, of course, telling everybody that if you go to Mexico, you'll be killed. Me saying, come on, Bill, I'll take you, and you'll survive. Guess what? I left for Mexico the next day, and I'm talking to you now. You figure it out. Bottom line is, yes, have there been 30,000 people murdered in the last 4 years in border towns and all throughout Mexico in the northern part? Yes. Has it been cartel against cartel? Yes. How many Americans have been killed in this in the last 4 years? Less than 20. And of that amount, an overwhelming number of them drug-related. I rest my case. Interestingly enough, tourism to Mexico this year up 20%, including nearly 600,000 more Americans than last year. So somebody's figured it out. Somebody got a map, and somebody figured out that the distance between Tijuana and Cancun is the same as the distance between Los Angeles and New York. That's how big Mexico is. Get a map, figure it out, have a great time. And if you think I'm kidding, later this year we'll be doing the show from northern Iraq. We'll be doing the show later in the year from Libya. And my last name is Greenberg, okay? You got it? All right. But right now we're on the Disney Dream. And for those of us who are old enough to acknowledge we were on the original Disney ship that came out a little more than a decade ago, quite some number of changes. First of all, the ship is much bigger, much taller, much smoother, and lots of great things to talk about. And joining me right now, someone who knows all about that, she's the editor-in-chief of CruiseCritic.com, Carolyn Spencer Brown, a regular with us. Hey, and you're on the ship.
I'm on the ship right with you here,
Peter.
We're
actually doing this. For those people who don't understand this, there is an actual radio studio on the Disney Dream. And it's not just like a microphone and two tin cans and a string. It is state of the art, and we're literally moving at about 19 knots and holding satellite signal, which is pretty cool.
It's very cool.
But what's really cool about this ship?
What's really cool about this radio booth, by the way, is the view from the radio booth. You're not in a closed closet. We're like looking out at the pool deck. And it's lit up for night, and the water coaster is fantastic. Water's rushing through it. It's cool. So I got distracted. What were you asking?
I know you got distracted. Look at your host.
I'm looking at you.
Bottom line is, though, cruise lines coming out with new ships at a time when the economy is not great, at a time when there's a lot of excess capacity now, I've seen a lot of discounting. I saw a discount fare the other day on another cruise line, 7 nights in the Western Caribbean for $299. Now, I've never seen it that low.
I have. That was actually fairly common last year. Last year, meaning 2009, sorry. Yeah. But one thing I will tell you about discounting and Disney is we did a search today, as a matter of fact, to see what kind of deals we could find on Dream, and we couldn't find any.
Well, you know, that's not discounting. Well, you know what? That's not surprising for a new ship because everybody wants to be first on their block. You know, you book all these new ships when they come out. You know, they always sell out full. But I will say this. I saw Cunard when they came out with the Queen Victoria and most recently the Queen Elizabeth, and they're sailing full. And then 4 weeks later, I'm getting emails offering discounts on brand new ships.
Yeah. No, actually, what we're seeing, we've done a couple stories on it on Cruise Critic, is that some of the newest, hottest ships of the last year are actually at really pretty decent price. Last year, it's the Royal Caribbean ship that was the biggest in the world. You know, you couldn't get a discount on that, and we paid it through the nose. But when Allure came out, wow, you could really get a great deal.
You're talking about Allure of the Seas on
Allure of the Seas on Royal Caribbean. When Norwegian Epic came out, you know what? There are some great deals there. And Oceania Marina, which is the other really interesting new ship for this
year. That's coming up in about a month.
It's coming up, and they can't fill the maiden voyage. So I'm telling you something. There is not as much interest in the new ships as there has been. That makes Disney's achievement in terms of not selling too cheaply very, very significant.
Well, Disney's got something going for it that the other cruise lines don't, and that's amazing brand loyalty to what Disney stands for. And a lot of people will go to the park and then come to the ship, or go to the ship and then go to the park. They want that Disney experience. They already know what they're getting.
This ship is what I think it represents a transformation, or at least a new evolution for Disney, in that it's not really being connected to the park. In terms of the way they designed it, they wanted Disney Dream to stand alone up against Royal Caribbean, up against Princess, up against NCL, as a ship that people would go on just because they want to go on a cruise ship and they want a Disney experience. They don't necessarily want the traditional Disney experience.
And of all the Disney ships, this being the third one, right? This is the big buddy. This is the big daddy.
This is the big buddy. And think about it. It's been 15 years since those first two ships, Disney Magic and Disney Wonder, were actually designed. 15 years in ship life is like, what, is 7 years in a dog's life?
The dog's already dead.
The dog's been dead and gone.
Right.
So it's really significant that Disney's coming out at this point, 15 years later, with some very new tweaks to sort of the existing model.
I mean, the ship, 128,000 tons. 2,500 passengers, right?
4,000 passengers. And what the difference is the number you're looking at is a very good number. It's the 2,500 is the double occupancy.
That's what I'm saying,
because
right.
Because Disney is such a kid-friendly line, they expect that one out of three, at the least, of passengers will be kids.
So
it's huge.
It's 4,000. It's officially 2,500, but by the time the ship goes out of a port, it's 4,000.
4,000.
Wow.
Wow.
Lots of kids.
Better like kids.
Well, later in the show, I want you to come back, because one of the things about kids and Disney is that I remember the first ship, and it wasn't as kid-friendly as Disney said it was, and they had to change things around. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Carolyn Spencer-Brown, editor-in-chief of CruiseCritic.com. We're coming to you from the Disney Dream in the middle of the ocean, going between an out island in the Bahamas and Port Canaveral, Florida. We'll be back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide from the ship right after these messages.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
MedJet Assist. If you're injured or hospitalized while traveling, MedJet Assist will arrange medical transportation directly to the hospital of your choice. Travel safely and be smart. Get MedJet Assist. Take trips, not chances.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
It's 18 minutes after the hour. Peter Greenberg here with you, coming to you from the Disney Dream in the middle of the ocean between the Bahamas and Florida, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you can always email me to peter@petergreenberg.com. And this is the part of the show where I always encourage you to go to our website with the most imaginative title in the world, petergreenberg.com, for one important reason: to get our complete list of all the great sources out there, aid and relief organizations that are doing such great and essential work in places like Haiti. We just celebrated the one-year anniversary of that devastation, Western China, Chile, and, of course, in the Gulf. So please look at that list, and you might be quite surprised and amazed at how you can get physically, personally, and on location involved in giving back. The best vacation you've ever had would be a volunteer vacation. And I think some of the sources on that list will certainly surprise you, because it will link into your own particular areas of passion and creativity that you may have forgotten you even had. So check that out. You may remember a couple of weeks ago on the show, I just returned from Egypt and giving a speech at a UN-sponsored event hosted by the First Lady of Egypt on human trafficking, the fastest-growing crime in the world, involving a tremendous amount of travel, as you can suspect. And we're not just talking about child prostitution. We're talking about exploitation of children, slave labor, the 2011 version of slavery. And when I was over there, and the conference took place in Luxor, when I was over there, they premiered a movie there that I had not even heard of. And as much as I thought about, but I actually knew something about trafficking, being the world traveler that I am, I was amazed at how little I knew when I saw that movie. It just premiered earlier this week in New York, and it will be coming to a city near you soon. I can't encourage you enough to see it. The name of the movie is called Not My Life, and the director of that movie, the producer of that movie, the man behind that movie is now back from Egypt and joins us now, Bob Bilheimer. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Peter. How are you?
I'm okay. I mean, I have to say that watching that movie, and I say this to you as a compliment, it was disturbing.
Well, it's hard not to be disturbed when you see some of the things that we depicted in the film. As you know, Peter, we tried to talk about some of the hopeful things that are being done, to kind of alleviate, if you will, or fight the war against this astonishing series of crimes that are being committed all over the world against children. Human traffickers, whether they recruit or exploit children for sexual purposes, for slave labor purposes, for domestic servitude purposes, they go after the most vulnerable people. And of the millions and millions of human beings that are being exploited in this manner around the world today, most of them are kids. It's just a frightening, devastating reality. And what we tried to do with Not My Life for the first time is to give, audiences like yours and people over the world a kind of an overview of what in fact is happening. And it is. You just can't escape it. It's hard, difficult stuff to contemplate.
When you think about, the global impact of this, share with me, if you can, where you shot this movie.
Well, we quoted the United States' first trafficking in persons ambassador, John Miller, early on in the film. When we first started making the film in 2004-05, and John said, look, human trafficking exists in every country in the world, and there are 190 countries, as you know, in the world today. To give a global overview, we basically traveled to five continents and I think it was 18 countries and a dozen states right here in the U.S. So it was a fair amount of travel, put it that way.
I think one of the surprising things that came out of that movie was how much the United States is involved in terms of the problem itself. It's the fastest growing crime in the world and, sadly, one of the least successfully prosecuted.
Absolutely. When we set this out, it's so easy, I think, Peter, don't you? I mean, this as well as I do, that, folks, when they see, some of these great plagues of the 21st century and these great tragedies, be it, the AIDS epidemic or issues surrounding poverty and hunger or now the human trafficking, people immediately go to, obviously where there are poor people. They go to India, their minds go to Africa, et cetera. But when you look at the human trafficking issue, we were very determined to point out to folks that especially crimes of sexual violence against young girls, and when I say young, I mean 10 to 14, are being committed in the United States, every single day of the year. I mean, the most conservative estimate right now is that there are 100,000 kids out there that have been sort of zeroed in by, you know, pimps looking out for them. And this isn't your, you know, your stereotype pimp. You know, this is a cool-looking guy who comes, befriends a vulnerable young girl whose parents may be going through a divorce or something like this, says he's going to be your best friend. And next thing you know, she's in the truck stop. And that girl is performing 40 sex acts a night and turning all the profits back to this guy, and who will threaten to kill her if she doesn't do it. I mean, it's just absolutely astonishing stuff.
You know, one of the stories that we learned about happened in Philadelphia. There was a U.S. air flight going from Philadelphia to West Palm Beach, Florida, that I talked about over in Egypt. And and there was a guy there with about a nine-year-old boy. They were checking in for a flight at the ticket counter. And there was a woman behind them waiting her turn in line to check in. And the man didn't seem to know the boy very well. The boy didn't seem to be really attentive to what was going on. And the man didn't even know the boy's name. And the woman thought that was sort of curious, didn't really put the, you know, put all the pieces together at that point. And then when the ticket agent gave the man the two tickets or the boarding passes to West Palm Beach, the young boy said, "I thought we were going to North Carolina." And she thought this was even worse. And when she got on the plane, she talked to the flight attendants and said there's something wrong going on here, and nobody did anything. She insisted on talking to the captain. The captain was a father with kids, thought this was curious as well, called ahead. And thankfully, when the plane landed in West Palm, authorities were there and an arrest was made of that gentleman.
You know, Peter, that's a great, great story. And, you know, despite what I've just said, you know, the fact of the matter is that there are things that, you know, people can do and be on the lookout for, you know. And one of the things that we've done with this film is that, you know, we're filmmakers, so we're not saying, you know, like we are the, you know, the anti-slavery movement. But what we've done in the film is that we refer people at the end of the film to notmylife.org. And when you go to notmylife.org, you know, you can immediately go to some of our partners. You know, the NGO partners are on the front lines of doing this kind of thing. And like in the United States, there's an organization called the Polaris Project that has a national hotline. And if you, you know, even now your listeners, and I'm really sorry I don't have it in front of me, but if you go to Polaris Project or you go to notmylife.org, you know, you can find a list, for instance, of people that are working on this issue that say these are the things to watch out for, to look at, like in this story you just mentioned. You know, if you're in a restaurant and you hear loud noises and arguing, you know, in the kitchen, you know, there's a whole series of things. So that I think that what's really important, what we felt is, you know, we need to get people engaged in this issue because it is a criminal activity. And therefore, it's underground,
it's
but this is also a $32 billion a year industry trading on human lives, you know, and this is serious stuff. And, you know, Peter, I got a hats off to you, man. I think it's just wonderful that someone in your position is, like, taking a concern about this, you know, and because I think
well,
it's
you know
horrible
what, Bob,
that it's the stuff we can do.
As a traveler, I have to be concerned about it because I want to be aware about it.
Yes.
And as you said, and as you showed in your movie, it's not just sexual exploitation. It's the people who pick your vegetables. It's the people who are cutting down trees. It's the people and your T-shirts. And there's a responsibility that's needed to be displayed at the hotel level, at the travel level, so that people do not do business with people who are involved in the exploitation and trafficking of children. And before we run out of time, I want to tell everybody the name of the movie again, Not My Life. Bob Bilheimer's done an amazing job. Please go to their website, check it out, notmylife.org. And when you see the movie playing in your neighborhoods, please go see it. It'll make you a more aware traveler, and you can vote with your wallet the next time you stay at a hotel, go to a resort, or buy anything on the street to make sure that it's not coming from the hands of an exploited child. Bob, thank you so much for joining us, and have a happy new year, man.
Hey, Peter, it's really good
when
to
we
hear
come
your
back,
voice, as always, buddy. Thanks a lot.
You got it, man. When we come back, more from the Disney dream and how they imagined all this stuff. Back right after this.
To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now. So call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. Once again, here's your host, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome back. 33 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you, coming to you from the middle of the ocean, holding satellite signal in the most remarkable way, and taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com. With your name, phone number, question, and problem, we will solve it right here on the air. I said we're coming from the ocean because we're on board the new Disney Dream. And I will say this not because I'm in any way, shape, or form trying to promote a ship, but I don't look at this as a ship. I look at this as an experience. And my next guest, I think, might agree with that. He's the Imagineer and senior show producer here on the Dream, Bob Zolk. Hey, Bob.
Hi, how are you, Peter?
I'm fine. I mean, I was talking to Bob Iger earlier today, who we all know is the CEO of the Disney Corporation. And I said, you know, what are you guys doing in terms of child care on this ship versus your other ships? He said, you got this wrong. It's not child care. It's child experience.
Exactly.
And everywhere I went, I toured the ship, which takes a while to tour. It takes about 2 hours if you do it the fast way. I was amazed because I was on the very first ship. And what Disney didn't do right there, they fixed. And then you actually improved on it here. I remember the first couple of cruises, parents were bringing their kids on thinking, great, the parents can go do something, and you weren't really quite set up for as many kids' activities as you needed. On this ship, I hope you'll take this as a compliment, I wanted to spend more time myself in the teen center.
Absolutely.
I mean, give me the Wii, give me that play floor that lights up. And then that interactive detective game. Explain that.
Yeah, the Midship Detective Agency is something that we've developed, and it's sort of a mystery clue-finding game that takes guests or families throughout the ship. You solve clues. You're trying to find. You're solving a little mystery, like a stolen painting, or as you know, some of the Dalmatian puppies are missing. And so you go around
the
ship.
By the way, there's either missing puppies or something else. I had a choice.
It's paintings missing. I think there were paintings, and then there were puppies.
I gotta say something. I always am going to go for the puppies.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
You've got to go for the puppies.
Dalmatians, yes. Okay. So it's a way for us to sort of, you know, you take the technology and you can send families throughout the ship and they solve puzzles together. And it's something, you know, going back to your earlier comment, you know, embracing technology in a fun way for kids and for families, you know, it's something that we can offer different here on the ship. And I think a lot of people have had a lot of fun with it.
I mean, I can't walk more than 30 or 40 feet without being stimulated in some way visually.
Oh, yeah. We have a lot of great art directors, you know, with Imagineering. You know, we like to tell the stories. We want to immerse guests in this experience on the ship. And so, you know, we have Enchanted Art, which I think you've seen, which is, you know, artwork that suddenly comes to life when you look at it.
Oh, I walked into a gallery yesterday, and there was your version of the Mona Lisa as Mickey Mouse.
Yes.
Or Minnie.
Minnie Mouse, yes.
I'm sorry.
That's
it was
okay.
Minnie. It's okay.
Right.
My fault.
That's right.
And as I get close to it, it talked to me.
Absolutely. And so,
you know, I've had bad dreams like that. You know that.
But, I mean, those are things that we can do. You know, I come from a theme park background. And so on a ship where we have guests that are staying with us for 3, 4, 7-night cruises, you know, as a designer, we can design experiences that are very flexible, a lot of repeatability. And so, you know, for the detective game, you could go back tomorrow and play it, and it's a completely different game.
All right, so let me ask you the devil's advocate question.
Yes.
Was there an item, an experience, an electronic opportunity that you thought was going to go through the roof, and it just failed miserably, or one you thought, no one's going to like this, and there are lines around the block for it?
You know, what's funny is, I have to say the latter in that, you know, you don't know quite, like the detective agency game, since we're talking about that. That's one of those where you're not quite sure. I mean, it's something that we've not done like this before. And, you know, as Imagineers, you know, we like to stretch the envelope and do things that maybe nobody else has done before. And so that's been, you know, we've been really pleased with that. And, you know, I was in the elevator the other day, and there's three little kids in there, and they're arguing about, you know, where the next clue is and where they should go on the ship. And I think as designers, we worked for a couple of years on experiences like this, and to be able to see kids enjoying it, it's great. I mean, you can't beat that.
Poor kids my age.
It's for a whole family, yeah.
I mean, it is.
It's fun. It's fun.
I mean, am I the only person who wanted to spend more time in the teen center? And I'm not talking about – I'm not a predator.
I've heard a lot of people that like to be down there.
I'm telling you, those little chair pods where you can just put your iPod on and just listen and watch.
Oh. Well, and then when you have the magic play floor in the kids' areas,
yeah.
A lot of the parents go, hey, when do we get those in some of the nightclubs?
And what's the answer to that?
I don't – who knows? You never know. It sure looks like a lot of fun.
Do you have crossover here, as you suggested, where the parents just really want to spend more time with the kids as opposed to coming on the ship thinking they're going to get a break from the kids?
Yeah, I think that, you know, if you come on a Disney cruise, at least for me, my personal experience with my family, you want to spend a lot of time with your families. And I think that, yeah, sometimes you want to separate and maybe the parents want a night out together. But basically, we have a lot of stuff here that we designed specifically for families. And so I think that's why we have so much for everybody to do. And how you can enjoy something that maybe a 12-year-old or an 8-year-old can enjoy.
Well, I like being 8 years old every chance I get. That's the problem.
Keep young, yes.
Oh, yeah. That's what a ship like this will do. And I have to tell you, when I first came on the original ship, I was worried that I would be like waking up in the middle of the night screaming to the tune of It's a Small World After All. And I've only heard it on the ship once.
Okay.
Is that okay with you?
That's fine with me.
So we agree on that one.
No, it's a great experience. It's a great ship. We're really happy with the way it turned out.
Well, Bob Zalk, one of the Imagineers here, and, of course, the guy who put a lot of this stuff together, just amazing stuff. We didn't even get a chance to talk about the aqueduct. That's pretty wild.
That's very wild. I really enjoyed that.
Right. Well, I will be talking about that later in the show. Right. Haven't gone on it yet because I don't want to go into orthopedic surgery, but we'll discuss that later. Bob Zalk, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Peter.
We were talking to Bob Vilheim earlier about NotMyLife.org. We're going to continue that conversation on what you can do about this when we come back. More from the Disney Dream right after these messages.
Now to talk to Peter Greenberg at 1-888-887-3837 or email him at peter@petergreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Travel Guard Insurance. For travel insurance plans for the unexpected, see your travel agent or visit TravelGuard.com for affordable travel insurance protection from Travel Guard.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
And it's 43 minutes after the hour. Peter Greenberg coming to you from the Disney Dream in the ocean heading between the Bahamas and Florida. Not a bad place to be. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. Earlier in the show, we were talking to Bob Vilheim, who directed and produced an amazing movie called Not My Life, which just opened in the United States. And please track it down. You're not going to see this next to the Little Fockers, I guarantee you. So look for it and make a point of seeing it. When I was over in Egypt, in Luxor to be particular, I met our next guest, who really sort of like takes the baton from Bob in terms of, okay, we know the problem now because we've talked about it. We've seen it in the movie. The next step is how do businesses, how do travelers, how do all of us understand the problem and then be aware of it to the point of making our voices heard and getting it stopped? Again, the fastest growing crime in the world, the least prosecuted crime in the world, otherwise known as human trafficking. And joining me now, Nelly Safavi, who's calling in from London, I believe. Hey, Nelly.
Hey, Peter. How you doing?
I'm okay. So, I mean, you saw the movie. You were there in Luxor. But this is something that's near and dear to you because it's something about what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I work in corporate responsibility and sustainability, advising multinational companies on what they can do to play their part to be a responsible corporate citizen, and to try and put a stop to things like human trafficking that might be happening in their supply chains, in their hotels, on their airlines, that kind of thing. So,
sure. So, I mean, when you're taking a look at, yes, and when you're taking a look at the number of people we're talking about, you know, the estimates range from 4 million to 25 million victims worldwide, and that's just an estimate. So, it's pretty wild.
Yeah, it's a horrible phenomenon, actually. And, you know, the truth is the reason why the numbers are all over the place, listeners might be thinking, well, you know, 4 to 24 million, you know, what is that? It's because there's so many different forms of human trafficking, and it's an illicit underground crime that we're only finding more and more about every day. So it's really hard to put a concrete number on that. But, you know, I'd say
I suppose the most visible. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, sorry, go ahead.
Obviously, the most visible, or at least the most perceived visible aspect of that crime is child prostitution, but it's by no means the only one. We're really talking about forced child labor, a.k.a. slavery.
Yeah, absolutely right. It's modern-day slavery, and it affects children definitely by far. They're the worst, you know, the worstly affected victims, but also men and women. There's the sex trafficking aspect of it, but there's also the labor and the services aspect, you know, domestic servitude, people who are basically told that there's great work to be had, let's say, in another part of the world. They're lured into, you know, another country, their passports are stolen, and they're hidden away, and they basically become slaves.
Because with no documentation, they are people without a country. They cannot get away. And the thing that I thought was, well, not the most disturbing, but certainly very disturbing, was how many housekeepers, if you want to use it as a term, how many helpers or aides in this country, in the United States of America, qualify under that term of slavery.
Absolutely. It's very true. And basically, you know, I mean, I think even in the Robert Bellheimer film, which I've seen, which is fantastic, you basically see a woman who is a housekeeper in the U.S. who's basically trafficked, basically was, you know, in domestic servitude, hidden away, and was abused and exploited by her employer and paid next to nothing, if nothing at all.
So I guess the question becomes, for those people listening to the show, So I guess the question for people listening to the show is, now that you're hearing it from me and you're hearing it from Bob Bellheimer and from Nili and many other people who've been on the show talking about this, what do you do as a traveler? How do you become more aware?
That's a really good question, and I think there are a number of resources. There's actually a really good e-learning tool online that's been launched by the Body Shop, Microsoft, Manpower, in conjunction with the End Human Trafficking Now group, and that's a really good place to go for more information. The Polaris Project in the U.S. is fantastic. They have a website. If you spot something that you think looks, sounds like trafficking, you can call them up and they'll give you advice. You know, and then really it's about being aware. It's about looking around you, and if things seem a bit suspicious, tell somebody.
Thank you so much for joining us. You'll find all of those websites listed on our website, petergreenberg.com. Nili, thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon. And again, she's right. Stop, look, and listen. It's like just going to a railroad crossing, but the stakes are so much higher. Back for more from the Disney Dream, where we're going to actually eat very well.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. Now back to Peter Greenberg Worldwide.
52 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you aboard the Disney Dream, steaming. I love the word steaming because nobody steams anymore, but we're sailing between an out island of the Bahamas known as Castaway Key and Port Canaveral, Florida, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-887-3837. 88 Peter, if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. You email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. I want to start off by making a statement, and I'm going to ask my next guest if he wants to challenge that, of what I would call historical fact. 20 years ago, some would even argue 10 years ago, the word Disney and food was an oxymoron. The food at Disney 10 years ago, 20 years ago, I'm sorry, guys, it sucked. And all of a sudden, somebody woke up, and now... I think about 10 years ago, somebody woke up and at the Contemporary Resort in Orlando on the Disney World property, they came up with the California Grill, which was excellent. It was great. And then they thought, wow, maybe there is good food at Disney. Now, I remember also for most kids at Disney for years, it was just chicken fingers and more chicken fingers and outfits. And I would have nightmares about chicken fingers. Well, times have changed, not only at the resort, but on the ships themselves. And joining me now, the advising chef from a restaurant which has a very interesting historical name, which I'll explain in a second, Remy, for those people who remember the movie Ratatouille. Scott Hunnell. Hey, Scott.
Hello, Peter. How are you today?
I'm okay. So you want to challenge that? The food really did suck. I'm sorry.
No, you know what? That was part of the movement back about 20 years, and that's why I came on to Walt Disney World. So I've been with the company about 21 years.
So you've seen it going from really bad to really good.
Well, I want to say from good to great.
Oh, you're being... Okay.
Yeah.
I'll give you good.
Okay.
We won't go into that kind of gradation, but bottom line is, at least in my history, there's been a humongous change in the quality, in the service, in the presentation. When the first ship came out, about 12 years ago, you had one restaurant, which was... you have a similar name restaurant here called Paolo.
Exactly.
Which was really good. I mean, it's Italian.
Yes.
Right? Give me the derivation of Remy.
Well, Remy really is what it is, a French classic restaurant, and it is a very sophisticated, elegant dining room.
For adults,
you're right. And, you know, Victoria and Albert's, which is at the Grand Floridian Resort and Spa in Orlando, you know, about 2 years ago, we came up with the policy where it's adults only as well, and I think that's where the concept kind of continued on to this restaurant.
But adults only also means a more sophisticated menu.
It does. It's always been a sophisticated. It just, you know, allows the diners to come in. And we have so many restaurants at Walt Disney World for all the children, 10 and under. So this just gives an adult's opportunity. And so the opportunity came and presented itself from Ozair Ballet, which is vice president of food and beverage on the Disney Dream and Magic and Wonder as well, to collaborate with a chef called Arnaud Lalamant from Les Champenoises in Reims, France.
See, if you can pronounce it, he can stay here.
There you go.
All right. That's cool. I'll live with that. It's one thing to have a more sophisticated menu and certainly an upscale menu, right?
Right.
But you're still on a ship. You still have to be able to source certain items. You still have to be able to prepare them at sea.
Absolutely.
So what did you have to do specially on this ship to allow you to prepare these items?
Well, you know, that was the question that I was proposing to Chef Patrick, which is the, you know, he lives on the ship here, and he is the executive chef of the Remy. And I said, well, you know, we got 20, 30 steps on some of the plates, and this is the menu that we wanted to propose. This is what we do on land. And he says, just bring it on over. We'll take care of it. And you know what? He's able to deliver that.
Because you've designed the kitchens that way.
Well, the kitchens were designed by a chef, and that was Tony Wills that does a phenomenal job. He designed all the kitchens, assisted with the designing of all the kitchens. So I think that helps.
How many different kitchens on the ship, or galleys, I should say?
That is a great question. The only one I'm familiar with right now is Remy, since I've spent
so much time there. The good news is you have a dedicated kitchen just for that restaurant.
Exactly right.
So there's no one central kitchen pushing out all these dishes.
Right. There's no commissary, so to say. I mean, this kitchen, the staff from the front of the house and the back of the house is dedicated to Remy, which is, you know, Disney's newest dining. They really want to focus on making
sure. But it's also named after a certain character.
True.
Come on. Who is it?
Very famous Remy.
And if you look at the banquette fabric.
Yes.
Right? What do you see on the banquette fabric?
Well, you have a nice little Remy. The little Remy.
And Remy is what kind of animal?
And you have...
Come on.
It's a mouse, of course.
That's the only mouse you'll see at that restaurant.
That is true.
What's exactly the most difficult dish you got to prepare?
The most difficult or intricate, I would probably have to say the bison, which is one of our signature dishes that's on the menu currently at Victoria and Albert's, is a smoked bison from Colorado with a apple chutney and a little fennel salad, fresh crisp lavash, oranges from Florida, tangerine vinaigrette, and an 8-year balsamic vinegar from Modena, Italy.
Now, 20 years ago, that would not have ever been on the menu at Disney.
You're probably right.
I'm definitely right. Hey, Scott Hunnell, the advising chef for Remy, the little petit rat. Okay, does that work for you?
It works.
All right, that music means we're out of time for this hour. For those stations leaving us, have a great rest of your weekend. But for those stations sticking around, we have to stick around. We're in the middle of the ocean, coming to you from the Disney Dream. Back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide from the Disney Dream right after this.
Been listening to Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com. Live from around the world, it's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one frontline travel news journalist. Get on the phone now and call 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome aboard Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Hope you're having a wonderful fourth weekend in January. It's the only month this year that's going to have five weekends, and we're on number four now. Of course, we're always taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com. Normally, we tell you we've just flown in and we've been living on airplanes. Well, planes were involved, but right now we're not flying anywhere, but we're moving. We're moving at about 19 knots between an out island in the Bahamas called Castaway Key and Port Canaveral, Florida. Get out your maps, boys and girls. 26 degrees, 32 minutes north, 77 degrees, 3 minutes west. We are on board the Disney Dream, the brand new ship from Disney, on its inaugural voyage, and it's a pretty amazing ship. We'll be talking about it during the show. A couple of little housekeeping notes about news out there. Expect more airline fees and more higher airline fees. It's just going to get wilder and wilder. The airlines earlier this week announced their earnings. Everybody, that rising tide of ancillary fees has lifted all boats, not to mention planes. And they haven't done this well, I think, since the Wright brothers decided not to fly lying down. It's pretty bad. Good for them, bad for us, because 87% of their seats are being filled, which means they are, for all intents and purposes, full on every flight. Good luck cashing in your frequent flyer miles. And look for a piece that I'll be doing on the CBS Evening News in the next 3 weeks on the truth about what really these mileage programs are going to be worth to you and how much the miles you have are worth to you. That's sort of a rhetorical question, but I'm not going to give you the whole bad news until you watch the show. There are ways around it, and I will teach you how to do that as well. We always talk about how to beat the airlines at their own game, playing by their rules, and we will do that again. Also, if you get a chance, go to YouTube if you want to be entertained by a mano fight between, or let's just say a discussion between me and Bill O'Reilly on the on Mexico and your safety in going there. Just go to YouTube for O'Reilly Greenberg Mexico and sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. That's all I'm going to tell you, but it was fun to do it. And interesting what happens when facts show up. But in any case, check that out. A few things about the Disney Dream. 130,000 gross tons, over 1,100 feet long, and the beam of this thing is 121 feet wide. That is huge. Draws 27 feet of water, but we won't be going down that far tonight. And it's actually cruising right now at about 19 knots. It can do about 23, so that's pretty fast for a ship of this size. Joining me now, a regular on our show, she's the editor-in-chief of CruiseCritic.com, Carolyn Spencer Brown. I love somebody with three names because it sounds like you're also a contestant in the Miss America pageant.
Well, you know, I didn't really quite qualify for Miss America, but I'll take the three-name compliment.
You just have to
anyway.
Say you wish for world peace and end of hunger and you're done.
So. I wish for world peace and end of hunger.
And then play the harp. Do you ever notice that these Miss America contestants always play instruments that nobody else plays?
Right, because then you're not really you're competing against anybody.
Well, you definitely have no competition in the cymbals.
Exactly. Cymbals, but that's an art form, and you know that.
All right. Well, speaking of an art form, Disney Dream. Now, you've been on every ship. I know this, right?
Yep, I've been on every ship.
And, you know, you're pretty specific in what you like and what you don't like. So let's start with what you don't like about this ship, and then we'll talk about what you really like about this ship.
You know what surprised me the most in terms of what I don't like when I came on board yesterday was how boring the sun deck is, the pool deck is. I expected something vibrant and kid-friendly, which it's kid-friendly, but it's just snore-friendly. There's no color. There's no life. You know, when you go on Royal Caribbean, you go on Norwegian Cruise Line, the pool areas are just festive, just the way they feel when you get on.
Well, you know why.
Why?
It's singles time. There are all these escaped dental hygienists looking to get, well, you know.
Well, still, you can have a little color. And I think a little color would be great. Now, at night, there's more color because they have the lights lit up. But I think the pool area really left me cold.
Well, guess what? That means you went to other areas.
I did. The other thing I was really disappointed in, and Disney was a pioneer way back 15 years ago when it designed the concept of an adult area pool in cruise ships before that, and that wasn't even necessary. Disney designed an adult area pool, and it's on its other two ships, and I thought, wow, they're going to actually improve on the concept, and it's actually worse than the originals.
Why?
And it's small. It's cramped. Every seat is in shade. And they even have a bar that's meant to look like a swim-up bar, which I think is pretty cool for an adult-only pool.
Yeah.
But the bar stools are planted firmly in the water. So, you know, it's just sizzle. It doesn't sizzle. It fizzles. It's just nothing special about it. And I, you know, Princess has come out with a sanctuary adult-only area based on the idea that Disney pioneered and does it a million times better.
Okay, but you know what? What Disney doesn't do well that other ships do, then there's the kids' areas.
Right.
And they shine. Look, other ships, let's face it, they knock out a wall between two rooms throwing crayons and say they got a kids' program. Come on.
Right. I think what Disney is, and Disney is very firm in saying, look, we are all about the family. What we're doing with adding these special areas, these adult-only wine bars and such, is we want to make sure that absolutely every member of the family is happy when they come on board. So if you bring the kids, you bring your maiden aunt sister, and you bring your grandparents, and you bring your own parents, you want to make sure everybody has something to do. They're not really looking to compete with Royal Caribbean and getting singles and honeymooners and that kind of thing. That's not really their game.
It never has been.
Never has been and isn't now.
So basically, if you're coming on board a Disney cruise looking for the adult singles bar, you are delusional.
I mean, there is an adult singles bar, but it was 10:30 last night. It was empty.
Right. It's filled with one delusional guy looking
for somebody and drinking a glass of water at the end of the bar. I mean, you know, that's exciting.
Everybody else is getting Mickey to do the turndown service.
Yeah, that's sweet.
Yeah.
That's romantic.
Tell me more. I want to hear that.
Maybe at another time frame.
See, Mickey told me he only liked me as a friend. So I mean,
well, I think that's probably a good sign.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I think that's a good sign.
All right, so disappointed in some of the adult areas, but I was pretty impressed with the teen areas and the kids areas.
What I'm hearing is that the teen area, they've knocked this one out of the park, and this was a really tough one for Disney because they didn't do a good job with the teens on the other two ships on Magic and Wonder. They have knocked this one out of the park, and I think that will open up Disney to sort of a broader range of families with various kids.
Yeah. I mean, I have to tell you, I went to the teen area. I didn't want to leave. I thought that was the coolest thing on the ship. I wanted to hang out there in those little pod seats and play with my iPod. And that, oh, it's very cool.
You can see everything in there, by the way, from the spa.
I know.
It's got a great location.
That's why the parents could give an excuse that they had to have the massage to
exactly.
supervise
Just
their kids.
Keep an eye on my teen down there. Yeah.
Carolyn Spencer-Brown, the editor-in-chief of CruiseCritic.com. Where's your next trip?
I am going to London, not cruising.
Wow.
Yeah,
call the authorities. Going for the wedding?
Going for the wedding.
Hey, we'll be there for the wedding, too.
That's great. Maybe we'll hook up.
The show will be coming from the wedding.
That's fantastic. That's right. I can get you in on my reception pass.
I'm just on my drive to get as many commemorative stupid plates as I can. And a couple of snow globes, too.
I'll ask Kate if she can give me a couple of special things for you.
Okay. And they've been selling a replica of the ring. God help us all. All right, Carolyn Spencer-Brown from CruiseCritic.com. She will not be invited back to the adult pool for the duration of this cruise. When we come back, a serious note, child trafficking, one of the worst and most large crimes in the world and the least prosecuted. Back right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
MedJet Assist. If you're injured or hospitalized while traveling, MedJet Assist will arrange medical transportation directly to the hospital of your choice. Travel safely and be smart. Get MedJet Assist. Take trips, not chances.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
18 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you from the Disney Dream at sea. Steaming about, I think, 18 knots. Going between one of the out islands of the Bahamas and Port Canaveral, Florida. Brand new ship on its inaugural cruise. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you can always email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We will solve it right here on the air. And as you do always at this time of the show every week, I remind you to go to the website, course, it's called petergreenberg.com, to get our comprehensive list of all the aid and relief organizations that are doing all that essential hard work in Haiti, in Western China, in Chile. Remember, they had an earthquake in 2010, and, of course, in the Gulf, still recovering from the oil spill. So many opportunities there for you to practice what we've been preaching, which is the volunteer vacation, where you can get back so much more than you give. It's the most amazing experience you can have. Look at that list. You will be surprised at all the different opportunities you have to link up with your own area of expertise and ability and affinity. And so please check it out at petergreenberg.com. We're having a great time on the Disney Dream. Earlier in the show, we were talking to an amazing guy who's the writer and producer and director of an amazing and, I should also say, disturbing movie called Not My Life, which was screened. I happened to see it in Luxor in Egypt when I was over there speaking at a United Nations conference co-hosted by the First Lady of Egypt, Suzanne Mubarak, on child trafficking, the fastest growing crime in the world and the least prosecuted. And throughout the show, we've been letting you know all the different resources out there for you to be much more aware of this as you travel around, not just the world, as you travel around the United States, which is one of the biggest offenders when it comes to child trafficking. We're not just talking about child prostitution and that terrible image. We're talking about the 2011 version of modern slavery. And joining us now, someone who's been doing some incredible Herculean work in this area, the executive director and CEO of something called the Polaris Project. His name, and by the way, I met with him when we were in Luxor as well, and I've invited him on the show, Bradley Miles. Hey, Bradley.
How you doing, Peter?
I'm doing just fine. I hope you heard my intro about this crime being the fastest growing crime in the world, the dollar figures being staggering, the toll on human beings being almost incalculable. How does the Polaris Project fit in, and how can people listening to this show understand that we all have a role to play and we can do it every time we travel?
Sure. I did hear the intro, and I really appreciate those thoughts that you shared. Polaris, we're an organization that works on this issue. We work on the issue of human trafficking and modern-day slavery. We predominantly focus on the United States, but also we have an office in Japan. We take a really comprehensive approach to really trying to fight the issue, because you got to fight the issue on all different fronts. So when victims get out of the situation, we have services and social workers and shelter. We're also trying to work on some long-term change with policy change at the federal level and state level. And one of the biggest things that we do is we operate the national hotline on human trafficking for the United States. So when people have a tip to share, when people think they've found something, when people have questions, we're the place that they call, and we have 24-hour staffing here at Polaris, 24/7, and we have folks available to take those calls and to be a resource for the country.
Well, tell me a little bit more in terms of the process of how that hotline works. I told a story earlier in the show of a gentleman who was checking in for a flight with a 9-year-old boy going between Philadelphia and West Palm Beach, Florida. And there was a woman checking in behind him, so she was waiting for him to check in first, and she noticed a number of things that made her, well, at least initially curious, that the man didn't even know the child's name. The child appeared to be listless. When the ticket agent at the counter gave the man his boarding passes and the child's boarding passes for West Palm Beach, the child remarked that he thought he was going to North Carolina. She thought this was even more unusual. She brought it to the attention of the ticket counter agent, who did nothing. She boarded the flight. She happened to be on the same flight. She brought it to the attention of the flight attendants. They didn't do anything. She finally insisted on talking to the captain, who, by the way, was a parent, and shared her concern and radioed ahead. And when that plane landed in West Palm, the authorities were there, and guess what? They arrested the guy. He was trafficking this kid.
Wow. Well, that's some pretty tenacious work by that woman who wouldn't let it go until she made something happen.
Yeah. It was tenacious,
well,
but of course
let me tell you a bit about the hotline. I think it's a really exciting program. So a few years ago, the U.S. government basically said, this crime is happening all over the place. The term they use is it's hidden in plain sight, and they needed to create a resource for community members to call who are having all these little experiences like you just described, where people see something in their daily lives that doesn't feel right. Their gut triggers. They see something. They have red flags. Why doesn't that kid know where they're going? Why doesn't this person seem to have control of their documents? why every time I try to talk to this person, someone won't let me talk to them directly, and they insist on mediating my conversation through a third party. And so the U.S. government launched this hotline to basically be a resource for the country where people can call and share tips and share their experiences, just like the one that you described. So in 2007, Polaris Project started operating this hotline for the country. It's a toll-free number. Calls are confidential. People can call in anonymously. And we've just experienced this explosion of calls over the past 3 years. We've taken about 25,000 calls, and that's about 1,000 calls a month. So
wow,
we're
Bradley,
thrilled.
Can you give us the hotline number?
Sure, let me give it to you. It's an 888 number, so the number is 1-888-373-7888.
And we'll have that also on our website. But also, you guys have been very much involved in some new legislation because, as I said in the introduction, it's one of the least prosecuted crimes. And it's not just sexual exploitation. It's forced labor, isn't it?
Sure. It's a broad definition of the crime. And the crime really focuses on when you take people's will away, when you compel them to do something against their will, when you exploit them for profit. That's really the essence of the trafficking.
What about the role of the Internet? And I'm not going to try to single anybody out, but I will in one respect. I'll just throw it out there. Craigslist.
Right. So like you were saying earlier, sex trafficking is one part of the crime. Labor trafficking is another part of the crime. Sex trafficking is happening when you're putting people out in the sex trade, either when you're putting a child in the sex trade or when you're forcing an adult into the sex trade. Labor trafficking happens when you're forcing someone to work against their will, like as a nanny in a home or in a restaurant, farm workers, factory workers, landscapers, any type of industry where someone's being forced against their will. And on the sex trafficking side, you're completely right to point out the Internet has really been the new trend that we've seen in the field. When sex traffickers are realizing, let's figure out a way to access the most customers at the fastest way we can, most efficient way we can, and they're moving onto the Internet. And so online classified sites, last year Craigslist really was a big issue because we were finding out from the victims that we work with that pimps and traffickers were putting women and children up for sale on Craigslist. And they were really taking advantage of the ads in this little section on Craigslist called erotic services. And so all of a sudden Craigslist was exploding with trafficking ads. And so there was a bunch of advocacy in the field. There was a lot of people who brought it to Craigslist's attention. Law enforcement brought it to their attention. And by the end of last year, Craigslist decided to take that section down from their website, both in the U.S. and globally, because they basically realized that they wanted to plug that hole and not allow pimps and traffickers to put women and children up for sale on their site.
Wow. And again, last month, Senator Ron Wyden in Oregon got a chance to get a bill passed in the Senate about domestic minor sex trafficking. It now is going over to the House. It's got a chance, doesn't it?
It does. It's a great piece of legislation, and it's a legislation that really focuses on what you zeroed in on, where there's a lack of prosecutions, there's a lack of victim identification, there's a lack of services for children in these situations. So the bill is really looking to give some funding to 6 pilot communities in the United States. And each community that receives the funding can use the funding to provide victim services, to provide shelter, to provide training for law enforcement, to provide support for law enforcement funding so that they can crack down on the traffickers. So each community can take a really comprehensive kind of soup-to-nuts approach to really combating the issue. And so you're right.
Before we run out of time, Bradley, the hotline again is?
Sure. The hotline is 1-888-373-7888.
Bradley Miles, the executive director and CEO of a very worthwhile operation, otherwise known as the Polaris Project. And that hotline and all the information you just heard on this show will also be on our website, petergreenberg.com. Bradley, thank you very much for joining us. And when we come back, we'll be joined by the captain of the Disney Dream.
To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now. So call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. Once again, here's your host, Peter Greenberg.
33 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you on board the Disney Dream, where we're, I don't use the word steaming, we're sailing at about almost 20 knots. For those people who are nautically inclined, that's about 23 miles an hour if you do the 1.15 conversion like I like to do on my ship. And taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And, of course, since we're talking nautical, how perfect that my next guest is the commander of this ship, Captain Tom Forberg. Welcome aboard, sir.
Thank you.
You're supposed to say welcome aboard to me.
Yes.
You're a veteran of 30 years on the sea, and I'm a boat captain myself. I'm a Coast Guard captain. I've gone to the simulators. I've trained over in Europe and in Rotterdam. I'm always amazed at the technology that is coming aboard on these ships now. And most people who visit the bridge of your ship would probably be equally amazed that they're looking for the steering wheel. There really isn't one. You've got, you know, your bow and your stern thrusters and your joysticks. And everything is counter-programmed in terms of, you know, everything on the bridge is looking at something else. You're always checking and double-checking and triple-checking your navigation system. But you're not just commanding a ship, you're commanding an experience here, aren't you?
Absolutely. You know, being the captain of a Disney ship, you are in charge of the entire operation on board. But, of course, for a captain, the safety and the well-being of all the guests and crew will be the number one priority.
Of course. But, I mean, it's not just that you understand how to go, you know, forward and aft and port and starboard. You have to know, you have to be really an engineer to be on this ship. You have to be a systems guy to be able to understand what we're doing here.
Yeah, this is a very technology, it's a very advanced ship compared with the ships we had years ago, you know. So everything has to do with computers and, you know, navigation as well. We have a very advanced state-of-the-art equipment.
It's interesting because today I always say about airline pilots, they don't fly planes, they monitor systems. That almost sounds insulting, doesn't it? That, you know, you're not really in control. You're just monitoring what the ship wants to do. But in a sense, you know, once you get out here, you're basically monitoring all the different systems on the ship.
Yeah, you know, the voyage like back to Port Canaveral is programmed in the computer already. You know, so the ship changed course by itself and it reached a certain waypoint until we reach the final destination.
Sure, it's waypoint to waypoint to waypoint.
Right.
You're always counter correcting and course correcting.
Yeah.
But in terms of, I will say this, and maybe it's just because the sea is very calm, and we're actually at sea right now, you don't feel a lot of movement on this ship. It seems to be more hydrodynamic than other ships.
It is. You know, if you look at the design of the hull itself, it's much more hydrodynamic than what we usually see on because most of the ships today that is being built is really very square. This ship here has a completely different, the design is a very sleek lines, reminiscent of the old ocean liners of the early 20th century.
Well, I'm one of those guys who likes looking at a ship and at least imagining that it has curves and it has lines and it looks like a ship and it doesn't look like a condominium fell over and floats.
Right.
So we're in sync on that one.
Yeah, absolutely. And the stability is perfect on this ship due to the fact the design of the hull itself.
You have the bow pod.
Yeah, the bulbous bow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that has to do with hydrodynamics, you know,
exactly.
Because it's the way it breaks the water and increases less friction of the water flowing along the ship, so it actually increases the speed of the ship with half a knot.
Who knew?
Yeah.
What I found interesting is that one of the things you were able to get the Coast Guard to do was to allow you to paint your lifeboats, your tenders, yellow instead of orange. How'd that happen?
Well, the thing is, you know, we are trying to display the Mickey colors on this ship, and of course that is black, yellow, and red, and white. So, I think that was a very important argument, and so we have our yellow lifeboats, and very happy. They are very visible, you know. I personally feel they are easier to spot, you know, than the orange ones.
You want to know something? I agree with you. I'm a fireman in New York, have been since I'm 18, And in my department, our fire trucks are yellow.
Right.
They're not red because at night you can't see them.
Right.
If they're red. It's amazing how many fire trucks get involved in accidents because people don't see the red at night.
Right.
But they do see the yellow. And there are some fire trucks in some departments that are really ugly because they paint them like day glow green for the same reason. But thank God you didn't do day glow green over here. That wouldn't have been good.
No.
What's the most unusual aspect of this ship from an engineering point of view?
Well, the thing is, as I said, it has all the state-of-the-art equipment that you expect to find on a ship like this, and of course, it adds up. And I don't know if you ever had an engine room tour on this ship. You know that you will find that very, very interesting. We have five huge diesel generators that produce electricity to our big propulsion engines.
And you need a lot of electricity. When I see all the things you have on board this ship, nobody's ever shutting off a light switch around here. It's going 24/7.
Right.
Captain Tom Forberg, the captain of the Disney Dream, who, by the way, has my dream job, because you not only get to be the captain, you're essentially in charge. You're the puppet master. You get to be in charge of all the entertainment when you think about it,
right,
because it can't work unless the ship is working.
Yeah. You're right. I really enjoy it.
Well, we enjoy being on the ship, and congratulations on the inaugural cruise. When we come back, more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide with the Disney Dream, sailing at 20 knots, otherwise known as 23 miles an hour. Back right after this.
Call now to talk to Peter Greenberg at 1-888-887-3837 or email him at peter@petergreenberg.com. The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. Now back to Peter Greenberg Worldwide.
43 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you on board the Disney Dream, steaming at, I like to use the word steaming, I'm old school, 20 knots between the Bahamas and Florida. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER, and if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. You know, when we talk about all the battles out there now, and you've been reading the news about Expedia and Orbitz and so many other websites that the airlines are duking it out with, and some of them are delisting on those sites, and some of them are dropping off entirely, when you look at the word luxury travel, it doesn't necessarily always mean a great discount, at least in most people's perception of it. Well, times are changing because there's a lot of stuff out there that needs to be sold, and a lot of it has great value. Hence, another website out there that's doing very, very well called JetSetter.com. And let me give you an example of what I mean. In some hotels in New York, I'll give you an example of New York hotels. There's a hotel called the Plaza Athenae, great hotel. Room rates are usually about $600-$700 a night. All of a sudden, you get on JetSetter.com and you see the same room on a couple of days a week at about $260 a night. That's a great deal, a good reason to go to that website. And joining me now from JetSetter.com, Heather Leisman. Hey, Heather.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing okay. So, I mean, you know, there's a lot of capacity out there. There's a lot of inventory out there. And, of course, it's very perishable. If it doesn't get sold when the sun rises, it doesn't get sold, and that's revenue people never get. So you guys have come in at the right time to figure out really great deals, really great value on things that we normally think are out of most people's financial reach.
Absolutely. You know, JetSetter is, we're just over a year old, and the whole idea was that the luxury segment is one there haven't been a lot of options for when they do have a lot of capacity and they want to fill rooms, but they're very wary of the perception that comes around discounting. And that's really what sort of drove JetSetter to come into being. We are the leading members-only travel site, and what that means is that you won't be able to find our rates or you won't be able to access those rates unless you're a member, but because it is a closed environment, and because it is a group of sophisticated travelers that are interested in luxury goods, we're able to offer fantastic savings to our members. And I think the great
All right,
best
so
part
I gotta,
is the
I
membership
ask,
is
I gotta
free.
I got to ask a stupid question. Okay,
sure.
How do you become a member?
Membership is free, which is probably the best part. But the kick is that you have to know a member or be invited by a member in order to join. So it's a very viral, social media driven acquisition strategy. We also do some partnerships with great travel brands such as Condé Nast Traveler. So if you're a Condé Nast subscriber, you can become a member of JetSetter.
Okay, now there are other sites out there like Voyage Privé and some other ones that do, you know, last-minute sales of unbelievable great experiences and adventures. You guys do that too, don't you?
We do. You know, there's been a surge in these private sale websites over the past probably 15 months or so. I think the way that we really feel that we're different with JetSetter is one, we are the leading, we're the category leader. So we are sort of the biggest and the best. And we really focus on a couple things that we think make us successful. You know better than anyone, Peter, that the last thing the world needs is another travel website right now. But what JetSetter, I think what we have tried to do is to fill a need of the market, which is there's so much choice, there's so much variety that's overwhelming to find what you want, but we provide a curated set of experiences. So, you know, you can go to a lot of the big OTAs, you can go to a lot of travel sites, and they'll give you all the variety you want, but they don't really tell you the two or three things that are where you want to go. So I think JetSetter has really tried to replicate the offline experience of having a conversation. You know, so many times I go to a cocktail party and people say, you know, I want to go to the Caribbean, where should I stay? And I don't list off the 50 hotels that are available. I talk about the two or three that I think are going to be right for them. And that's what JetSetter does,
exactly.
just in an online environment.
Sure, and just for clarification purposes, when Heather says OTA, that stands for Online Travel Agency, like Expedia, Orbitz, Travelocity, et cetera, et cetera. Bottom line is, it's free to be a member. You just got to know somebody or subscribe to Condé Nast Traveler, I guess. And also, the cool thing about it is, you've got some pretty great experiences there. That normally people would think, okay, I can't afford this, but you know what? If I go next Tuesday and my middle name is Murray and I act fast, I can actually go to an Aman resort and not spend $6,000 a night.
Absolutely. And the best part is it's not necessarily last-minute travel. So it's travel for the next, 4 to 6 months, but you have to make a decision really quickly. Our sales only last five days for domestic and 7 days internationally, but you can get a fantastic deal.
I got you. Heather Leisman, who's from JetSetter.com. You can find out more information about that, of course, on our website, which is PeterGreenberg.com. And thanks, Heather, for joining us. Back with more from the Disney Dream right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. Now back to Peter Greenberg Worldwide.
52 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you on board the Disney Dream. We were just talking to the captain earlier. Of course, I said he's got my dream job, well, because, hey, the captain. But if I were to have the other dream job on the ship, it would be this job, Vice President of Entertainment. Because that can mean anything. That is the coolest thing going. And joining me right now is the Vice President of Entertainment for Disney, at least Disney Cruises, Jim Murray. Hey, Jim.
Hi, John. Excuse me. Where did I come from?
Did you just call me Jill?
I did. I don't know what I said.
Wow.
I'm nervous.
No,
I'm in front of this.
No, no. You know what? That was
Mike
very,
and...
No, wait a minute. That was very entertaining. You see, you're the Vice President of Entertainment. You can call me Jill.
Wow.
You want me to be Jill, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Well, I'll start again.
No, you won't.
Okay, I'll carry on.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, Peter.
There you go.
It's nice to be here, and it's exciting to be on your show, and I'm pleased to have you on board the Disney Wonder. We got a great ship here, and I hope you had a chance to look around and see it.
You know, Ethel, I did.
Now we're even.
Okay, we're done.
Okay.
But when you're designing stuff here, and you've got to work within confined areas, because after all, we are an enclosed area on the ocean, floating. We're sailing right now at about 20 knots. But it's amazing what naval architects can do with an entertainment concept to give you enough space in which to actually work.
Well, I don't know if you have the chance to see the theater in the front of the ship, but it spans over four decks of space, holds 1,350 people. And to be on a ship of this size and have a Broadway West End production house on the ship of this size is incredible. And it's just state of the art.
And does it have risers? Does it have all the bells and whistles?
Lifts, risers, everything is completely flown up into the fly rigs, so it's a full theater stage.
Is there space for an orchestra in there, too?
We could have. We don't use that with our shows because we have three shows in there throughout the course of the cruise. It's like repertory theater, so it's three shows weekly.
Sure.
But we could put a band on stage, which we have done in the past, but our shows, we use tracks.
I mean, I go back to the days. Okay, here's where I'm dating myself. I go back to the days where the entertainment on a cruise ship was a bad comedian, a juggler who was somewhat limited during high seas, and a magician.
Well, I don't suppose you had a chance to see Disney Believe tonight, did you?
No, because I'm talking to you.
And that's a shame, you know, because it's a spectacular show, 22 cast, full show, technicians on the stage, standards of Broadway, West End, and it's a real production show with featuring all of our fantastic animation movie characters, a wonderful storyline about a father and a daughter who've disconnected through time, as happens with many parents, and how they become one again and start spending time together. A very emotional movie, a show.
Well, you know, I always like to think that a Disney ship is not a ship, it's a production entity.
It is. We're looking down here. I'm sitting over this pool area.
Let me just try to set the scene for everybody. We are on deck 14 right now in a completely equipped radio studio looking down on the pool deck.
Exactly. And, you know, this deck earlier on was two pools, and now it's completely covered over. One of the largest machineries on a ship to cover these two large pools. And now we're looking at the aqueduct, you know, the first ever water slide on a ship of this size all the way around.
And it goes all around the ship.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a water coaster. I mean, the first of its kind. And tonight, you'll be seeing off the side of the ship, we're the only company that actually shoots fireworks from the ship on a regular basis. Every cruise, there'll be a fireworks spectacular.
Amazing.
And
you have alerted the Coast Guard. These are not flares.
They are aware. And also, actually, from this point above us, we will be having a pirate rappel down there. So you'll see a pirate.
So tonight is pirate night.
Pirate's night is R.
R. Let's see. Jim Uri and R.
R.
R. Okay. I'm feeling better now. What was the most difficult challenge you had and putting stuff on this ship?
It's timing. You know, the whole thing is the time. You have a very strict schedule. You have to put together the shows and get three shows up and running in the Walt Disney Theater. And that is a challenge because you have no leeway. You've got to hit the mark all the way through. Also, this whole up deck area here, setting that up for the shows that we put out here on a nightly basis. But also the youth activities on board the ship. Some great spaces there. We had to, you know, from our learnings from the Wonder of Magic, we've extended our youth program. So getting the Ford area for the teens together and ready, where they have their own specific space. There's a lot of time that you have to put in a short.
But this show is truly an experiment for you as well.
It is. I mean, this is obviously taking what's been successful with the Disney Dream, the Disney Wonder. We embellished upon and developed further for the family market. So not only do we have the great areas of entertainment from the shows to the kids' spaces, but also on the back of the ship, we have a place called The District, which is very different to
what we've got. That's adult only.
Exactly. And it's very, like the evolution is like a New York nightclub, Miami Beach nightclub, DJs, which we bring on board.
Oh, so you have to wear all black.
All black is good, yeah.
You have to look like an escapee from a Robert Palmer video. Come on, tell me the truth.
It's beautiful. Yeah. Have you been down there?
I have.
It's a nightclub. You can be down there tonight. And I hang out there. It's up until 2 o'clock at night, so it's a good place to hang out. But I hope you get a chance to see the ship tonight.
Was there one thing that surprised you that you said, this is really going to work on the ship, and it didn't? Or something you thought, I don't think people are going to like it, and it went through the roof?
I wouldn't say there's anything that falls into that realm, but we did build this brand new show. It's a signature show called the Disney's Believe. And we believed it would be great. And tonight, standing ovation, and to see that show come alive, it's really spectacular.
Very nice. All right, so now your next challenge is what?
We got to bring out the next ship, Disney Fantasy, coming up. But this one is running extremely well and ready for guests.
All right, Jim Murray, who, of course, is the other dream job here, the Vice President of Entertainment. And I'm now going to call him Ethel so he can say what?
No, thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Jill. Would that work out for you?
It was good.
All right. Perfect timing, because that music means we're out of time for this hour. For those stations leaving us, have a great rest of your weekend. And Jill will be back for another hour if you stick around. But I'm not changing my voice. Back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide right after these messages.
Been listening to Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com. Live from around the world, it's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one frontline travel news journalist. Get on the phone now and call 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome aboard another edition of Peter Greenberg Worldwide in our third hour together with you on this fourth weekend in January. Hard to believe this month's going to have five weekends, but it is. Hope you're having a great time wherever you happen to be. Get out your maps, boys and girls. We are at 26 degrees, 32 minutes north, 77 degrees, 3 minutes west, and we're moving as we speak, steaming at 20 miles an hour, actually about 20 knots, which is about 23 miles an hour, between the out islands of the Bahamas and Port Canaveral, Florida, on board the brand-new Disney Dream on its inaugural cruise, and taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-887-3837. 88 Peter, and if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Just email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem, and we'll be glad to solve it right here on the air. If you hear noises in the background, that's the ship's horn doing all sorts of crazy, weird things. And yes, it actually does "When You Wish Upon a Star." Although the one thing it doesn't do, thankfully, is you're not woken up at night for 24 hours in a row with "It's a Small World After All." Lots of emails to get to this week and lots of stuff in the news. The first thing in the news, not surprising, every airline reporting earnings in the last 10 days, record earnings over the top. And listen to this, Southwest Airlines profit for 2010, $459 million. A lot of that did not come from checked bags, because as you know, Southwest Airlines doesn't charge for that. But it did come from the fact that they filled almost all their planes, and their fares actually went up. But they enjoyed a remarkable residual passenger goodwill, because people just didn't want to be hosed, and they didn't blink at paying higher fares as long as they didn't have to go to their wallet every time they breathed. So there should be a lesson there for a number of other, not airlines just as much as there should be a lesson for hotels and cruise lines as well. All right, let's go to the mail. We've got one from Evelyn, Durham, North Carolina. "My friend and I are planning a cruise in August of 2011 with Carnival. Should we book our own airfare, or should we allow Carnival to do that for us? Should we also take the vacation protection from Carnival or use someone else? Here goes. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. If you want to book your own airfare and you can get a better deal than what's being offered by the cruise line, whatever you do, arrive at your port of your first port of embarkation a day early. Don't do something stupid by trying to arrive on the day that you're going to leave and just go right from the airport to the boat, because if you try to do it that way, that ship leaves without you if you're late. And if the airline loses your bag, it can't catch up with you in time. It's all your responsibility because you booked the airfare on your own." Now, that really leads right to the second question of, should you take the protection offered by Carnival, or the otherwise known as the trip cancellation and interruption insurance, or do it on your own? Do it on your own. You never, ever want to buy travel insurance from the travel provider themselves for a number of important reasons. One, if you look at the language on many of those policies, it really protects the cruise line or the airline or the hotel much more than it protects you. If you need to change your plans and it's not because someone died, you may not be covered. So, and then the other reason is, if the travel provider happens to go out of business, so does your insurance. So any travel agent can sell you travel insurance, either trip cancellation or interruption insurance or other kinds of insurance through a third party. That's the way you do it. Email from Carol in Connecticut. "When is the best time of year to go to Singapore, and where's the weather the best?" Well, Singapore, for me, November to February is the best time of the year to go. If airfares are too high for you, I would investigate something called an RTW ticket, which means standing for round the world. So pick about four of the places you want to go. It might actually be cheaper than just a point-to-point round trip to Singapore. One from Beverly in Vancouver, Canada. "Is there a company that will manage one's air miles?" A company? No, there are some websites that will do that. And if you go to our website, we list them. And there are a number of websites that even get more specific than that in terms of managing your air miles. They'll follow different promotions, let you know what you qualify for, what you don't, and most importantly, because you know the airlines are playing this game, they'll let you know when your account is about to expire and become void because you haven't flown the airline within either a year, 18 months, or 36 months. Here's one from Sylvia in Newtown, I hope I'm pronouncing this right, Newtown, PA. You mentioned sites for cheaper air on the CBS Morning Show just a week ago. Can you name them again? Well, they weren't necessarily just for cheaper air. They were airline websites that were search aggregators that gave you much more options to be a comparison shopper. One that you've heard me say before many times is Kayak.com. I like it a lot. But a relatively newer entrant on the marketplace, they're actually based in Denmark, is a website called, I love this website, Momondo. That's Momondo.com. They actually have in their database 700 different websites. Yes, they've got some from the U.S., but they're also very, very good overseas, and I really like what they're doing, especially in a marketplace now, which is getting more and more difficult to be a comparison shopper, especially with the battle that you know about that's being fought between at least two airlines, American and Delta, and a number of OTAs, otherwise known as online travel agencies like Expedia, Orbitz, and Delta, removing themselves from a number of websites, including Cheapo Air and others. The airlines are trying to bring a lot of their pricing in-house. They're trying to control more of it. They're trying to limit the inventory they distribute through other channels since they're already filling 87% of their seats, and they have no real incentive to want to distribute more inventory than they can even have. Look, it's a very cyclical business, and in this tidal flow, at least in the last year, as the airlines reduce capacity, if they're filling 87% of their seats, they have no incentive to discount at all, except on certain select markets where they may be getting hit by competitors. But even the competitors have no incentive to discount because they're filling 87% of their seats. Every airline is reporting record earnings in the last year because capacity has shrunk, the law of supply and demand has kicked in, and you know what that means, we're going to be paying more. So if you want to be a really good comparison shopper, remember one other thing, and it's a myth. Not all the inventory is on the Internet. It's the inventory that the travel provider wants to make allow on the Internet. It's not the inventory that's out there in total. Always start by talking to a human being. They may have inventory that the web doesn't have. And this also applies to hotels. If a wedding suddenly cancels on a Thursday night and they have 60 rooms available on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, that will not be on that chain's website. That will not be on their 800 number, which is nothing more than a clearinghouse. It will be when you call them on the phone to the direct number of that hotel, very crucial for them to take your call because, remember, an unsold hotel room is revenue they'll never recoup once the sun rises. It's a very perishable commodity. So remember this. Talk to a human being first, whether it's the airlines or the hotels. Then check out the web to see if you can beat it. If you do it the other way around, you're in trouble. And for those people who think that if you just talk to a human being at the airline, they're going to charge you $30 to process your ticket, well, you're right, they are. But if you can save $500 in the process, is the $32 worth it or the $30 worth it? You know the answer to that. That's a rhetorical question. Of course it is. And we'll be back with more of your questions and your emails from the Disney Dream out here in the middle of the ocean, sailing between the Bahamas and Port Canaveral, Florida. Back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
MedJet Assist. If you're injured or hospitalized while traveling, MedJet Assist will arrange medical transportation directly to the hospital of your choice. Travel safely and be smart. Get MedJet Assist. Take trips, not chances.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
It's 18 minutes after the hour. Peter Greenberg here with you on the Disney Dream, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. And as I do always at this time of every show, I encourage you to go to our website with the most imaginative name possible, petergreenberg.com. because in there you'll find archived a great list of all the aid and relief organizations doing all that tough but essential great work in places like Haiti and Western China and Chile and the Gulf of Mexico, where you can actively, personally, physically insert yourself and get involved in the most amazing volunteer vacation you've ever had. And what you get back so much dwarfs what you give. What an amazing opportunity. So please check it out. You will be quite surprised in the most pleasant way that you did. Let's go to some emails from Charles in Gaithersburg, Maryland. I've always enjoyed your travel reports. Thank you so much. I have an opportunity to travel to Cuba next winter. My partner and his daughter, age 10, live in the Toronto area, and of course, travel for Canadians to Cuba is not a problem. However, I'm a U.S. citizen, and I would like to travel with them. From what I have read, I technically am not supposed to travel there unless I'm a reporter with press credentials. Blah, 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 blah. Can you do it? Well, I'm going to give you the good, the bad, and the somewhat ugly. Officially, there's something called the Trading with the Enemies Act. It was passed in 1963, and if you read it very carefully, it says that Americans are not prohibited from traveling to Cuba. Americans are prohibited from spending U.S. dollars there. It was really a piece of legislation designed to stop American businesses from doing travel there or doing even travel business to Cuba. But as I'm speaking to you right now, there are about 2,000 Americans who just went to Cuba. They weren't there as reporters. They weren't there as humanitarians. They weren't there on an educational or research mission. They did what your friend is about to do, and that is get on a plane from any one of five destinations in North America, Toronto, Mexico, Jamaica, the Cayman Islands, or the Bahamas, and they go to Cuba where they don't stamp your passport. You officially weren't there, and it happens every day. And there's sort of this double standard that's going on out there because the American government certainly knows what's going on, and they know that you're in if you do this, you're certainly in violation of the spirit of the law, if not the letter of the law. And they turn the other way because if they were started to enforce it and fine people or detain them, they would have to acknowledge how many Americans are actually doing it. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, and I know a lot of my friends who do this, I just want to just forewarn you that, you know, you need to know what you're doing. They're going from one of those five destinations, in your case, Toronto, to Cuba. The Cubans will not stamp your passport. And I don't suggest that you buy any Cuban products there. You can't use a U.S. credit card there. They don't have the systems to even process them. If you use U.S. dollars, there's a 30% premium on U.S. dollars because they frown on U.S. dollars. So if you're going to go, I suggest you exchange your dollars into euros before you go to Cuba. And understand that you should buy, and this is the key, an all-inclusive package from Canada to Cuba, because then you haven't spent a dollar in Cuba, you spent it in Canada. And that all-inclusive package truly means all-inclusive. That's your airfare, your hotel, your meals, your transportation, your tips, et cetera, et cetera. Once again, my caution to you is, I don't believe, I'm not a lawyer, but I don't play one on TV, that you're violating the letter of the law. Some people might interpret that you're violating the spirit of it, but you won't be alone. I hope that's helpful to you. From Mary in Seattle, Washington, we are planning a family trip with our parents to Ireland. There are a total of 20 people going. So obviously there'll be drinking involved. Does the airfare change much over the summer months? Well, of course it does. You say you want to go in July, and you should wonder if rates will go down. No. Once June 15th rolls around until September 1, the rates will stay high. So if you can go before June 15th, now's the time to figure that out. The rates will go up, I guarantee you, after June 15th, and will stay up until September 1. From Clark in Springfield, Illinois. We are planning a trip to Spain and the UK in May, and Iberia Airlines has the best price and logistics. However, in reading online reviews, it sounds like they are not a good choice. Well, why are they not a good choice? I don't have any problems with Iberia. In fact, they're part of the One World Alliance now. They're actually increasing their product in terms of quality. And if they've got the best price and logistics, you know what? Vaya con Dios, as they say, and go with Iberia. Listen, let's be honest about something. Are they not a good choice because you don't think they're going to serve you great food on board? You know what? You're not supposed to eat on a plane. Airline food is an oxymoron. Remember why we fly. We fly to go from point A to point B and not die. We're in that metal cylinder with engines. Are we really there for the wine list, the rich Corinthian leather, or the show tunes they're going to be performing? Absolutely not. Remember, as long as the plane doesn't hit a mountain or the wings cartwheel in flames upon landing, it's a good choice. Here's one from Kathy in Hopkinton, Massachusetts. I'm a mom to three boys now, aged 22, 18, and 15. We used to take annual vacations to Florida when the boys were little. Over the years, we've not been able to financially afford vacations and consequently have not been on a family vacation in ages. I would love to be able to take my boys somewhere warm over February vacation. I know it's a bad time to try, but I don't even know where to begin to look, somewhere other than Florida, okay? I saw your piece on December for the December deals on CBS. I wonder if you have any advice for February. Well, you know, spring break, President's Weekend, and Easter, it's sort of like this rolling time in February, March, and sometimes even in April. So my suggestion is check your school schedule to find out in your own communities, even if your kids aren't in school, what those break times are, because the prices will fluctuate accordingly. But if you're looking to go someplace and you have at least four people with you, obviously the three kids and you, I'm going to suggest something that's going to sound a little crazy until you do it. Rent an RV. Even if gas prices were $8 a gallon, you're going to save a whole lot of money on airfare, hotels, and dining out. And then pick a couple of national parks or even state parks within a 500-mile radius of where you are in Massachusetts, and you might be pleasantly surprised about how great time you can have, and stopping all along the way. That would be my my great and somewhat brilliant suggestion, if I'm lucky enough to make that. Here's one from Barb in Seymour, Wisconsin. My husband and I are trying to travel round trip from Osaka, Japan to Nagasaki, departing April 14th and returning April 21st. On the 21st, we are scheduled to fly from Osaka to the United States, but when I researched fares, I found a fare of $1,500 a person. Are there alternatives such as flying into another Osaka airport and then busing or taxing? I see what you're saying. Now, here's what you got to do. Bottom line is, where are you flying from in the United States? You haven't told me that. You're just saying you're flying from Osaka to Nagasaki. There's another way to do it if you have time. You can take a ferry on the inland sea of Japan that'll get you to Nagasaki from Kobe. So, Barb, if you're listening, get back to me, because without telling me where your final destination is, the fare quote that you gave me doesn't really make any sense, and I would really like to help you. So please do that for me if you can. Bottom line is, when you get to that kind of $1,500 fare ceiling, some of the best ways to go would be to buy something called an RTW, otherwise known as a round-the-world ticket, that might actually cost you less, and in the process create a whole lot of extra mileage. It's almost like nuclear fusion, where you end up creating another ticket out of just one. So check that out. But get back to me and let me know your actual routing and itinerary, and I'll help you out. Here's one from Sharon in Florida. We are planning a cruise to Italy. Is it better to leave from Italy, or are the Barcelona departures better? We plan to travel in April or May. Well, it really depends on where the ship is going to go. Is it one of those 7 or 10-day cruises where it goes from Civitavecchia, which is the port city of Rome, back to Civitavecchia? Or does it go from Rome, meaning Civitavecchia, to Barcelona? That would also be part of the deal. So you have to get back to me on that, Sharon. When you get back to me, I'll be glad to help you out. It really doesn't matter. What really matters is, where are you going to buy your airline ticket from? Because it's going to end up being what we call an open-jaw ticket. You might fly from Florida to Italy and then come back from Barcelona, or fly from Florida to Barcelona and come back from Italy. That's why it's called open jaw. You're not completing that jaw in the air. And even if you do, it's with another airline. You're mostly likely to complete it by ship, or in some cases by train. So I hope that's helpful. Once again, both to Sharon in Florida and to Barbara in Wisconsin, get back to me with more details, because what you gave me doesn't really help me finish the project for you and solve that problem. We need to know where you're flying to. That's to you, Barbara. And for you, Sharon, it doesn't really matter where you're going, as long as you understand you're going to have to buy what we call the open jaw ticket. And when we come back to the Disney Dream, we'll be joined by the assistant cruise director. That's my other dream job. I got three dream jobs here. Vice president of entertainment, assistant cruise director, because that means if the cruise director messes up, you don't have to take the heat. And last but not least, of course, the captain, because then you get to fire the cruise director and fire the head of entertainment if it doesn't go all right. See, I'm doing my little Napoleon number here. But when we come back, we're going to find out the actual cast of characters and, of course, the division of labor. More from Peter Greenberg Worldwide on board the Disney Dream. Back with more on sea. 20 knots we're going, otherwise known as 23 miles per hour. Back right after this.
To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now. So call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. Once again, here's your host, Peter Greenberg.
33 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you on board the Disney Dream, steaming, I love to use the word steaming, at 20 knots, otherwise known as 23 miles an hour, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill, boys and girls. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com. We'll solve your problems and have some fun at the same time. I was talking earlier in the show about entertainment on cruise ships, and I remember when I took my first cruise, entertainment was a really bad comedian, a really bad juggler, and a magician. And if the seas were rough, the show got really interesting because the juggler couldn't juggle, and the magician, the jig was up. Well, speaking of juggling, we got 4,000 passengers on this ship, another 1,500 crew, I believe. That's 5,500 people. It's a small town at sea, and you got to keep them happy. So there is juggling on board. In fact, one of the master jugglers are the cruise staff, and the assistant cruise director, Ray Small, joins me now. You're a juggler, aren't you?
Absolutely, yes. But we have great tools to juggle with here. We have some incredible venues and entertainment offerings on the ship.
I mean, it's amazing because it's not a ship as much as it's become an experience. Correct?
Absolutely. The ship is a destination.
By the way, I keep tabs on everybody who says the words absolutely more than once. I just want you to know that. And,
what's
and there,
telly
there are
so
people
far?
In the booth behind you shaking their heads because they got busted for it last show.
So we're only on two now.
You're keeping count. I love it. Okay, you keep score. How many different entertainment venues are there on this ship? Have you actually counted them?
I know for a fact, just in the district area, we have five, and that is our adult entertainment area. So five just in that small space down there. Just to go from there, we have a huge theater as well, our big Walt Disney Theater. That's a 1,400-seat, double-story, beautiful, state-of-the-art technology inside that theater. Every seat exceptionally comfortable, as well as our big movie theater as well, the Buena Vista Theater. So plenty of venues. I mean, and almost the entire deck dedicated, deck number five, dedicated to the children's area as well. So that's another whole separate entertainment district as well.
You know, I've said it before, I'm going to repeat it. I was down in the children's area and your teen area.
Yes.
That's where I wanted to hang out.
The vibe is the place to be.
Yeah, I love that scenery because, maybe you call it the vibe. I love those little pod seats that you sit in.
Yes.
With the iPod stuff. That was very cool.
You shouldn't have been in there. How did your card let you in there?
Well, I was on a work release program. It's part of my, my sentence.
Yeah, okay.
No, but in all seriousness, I mean, I would like to see that in the adult area. That was a very cool thing. Be able to sit in that little pod chair and just lean back.
Well, we have some of those at the pool deck downstairs, at the adult pool, the Quiet Cove pool. They've got those big lounge, those round lounge comfort chairs. They're very, very comfortable.
Disney, of course, known for family entertainment, family travel, if you will. People are coming on the ship expecting that Disney brand experience. And yet I remember on the very first Disney ship, I was disappointed with the children's programming there, because I don't think you guys were even prepared at that time to understand how many parents were coming on the ship expecting you guys to do it all for them, right? I mean, they just wanted to warehouse the kids and go and do something else. You've changed that, haven't you?
Well, I wouldn't say as much changes. There's certainly been some modifications and some improvements and extra pixie dust added along the way. But we've always, our goal is to have something for everyone, no matter what your age group. And that's always been our goal, and we continue with that today. So every member of the family feels like the cruise was created for them, because there is something for each individual age group, but also as a family to be done together as well.
Well, it's interesting. Carolyn Spencer-Brown, who's the editor-in-chief of Cruise Critic, I asked her to give me her critique of the ship, and she said she was blown away by all the children's and the teen programs, and she was under-impressed by the adult pool area. She said, there's nothing to do. I don't want to even hang here. I want to go hang somewhere else.
Right.
Is that surprising to you?
The adult pool area is great. It's got the pool area downstairs, but there's a lot of lounge sun deck area on top of it with the bars as well. So there's a lot of sun deck space. But that's also just a percentage of the offerings that we have for the adults. We really have upped our adult entertainment offerings. So we have our Anyone Can Cook series. We have...
Tell me about that.
So we have our master chefs that prepare dishes. We, at the moment, we're doing a ravioli.
And that's hands-on?
Hands-on. The chef is in the venue, teaches, gives you the recipe, and goes through step-by-step how to make the lobster ravioli at the moment. And we're also doing a apple strudel as well. So the chefs are down there. That's a great program. It's been very, very popular as well.
And you participate in that program?
Me, personally, I've got to be down there and test and make sure that the meal comes out the way it should.
All right. So that brings up my next question. You're on the ship for how many months is your contract?
Normally 3 months at a time.
Okay. How do you keep the weight off? I mean,
I don't.
I know. I was going to let you say that, but you did. Okay. Okay.
No, we do obviously strive for balance. Right. Yeah. So 3 months on, 2 months off. And, you know, you also balance your own work day as well. We have a great crew facilities here. So we have a beautiful crew gym, and, you know, and this time off in the ports as well. So you do get to balance your lifestyle.
For those people listening to the show who've never been on a cruise, if you get really, really lucky and somebody looks the other way on any cruise ship, get invited to the crew parties. I'm sorry, I have to say
we have a phenomenal crew entertainment program. Yes, we actually have a position on board called the crew activities manager. The cruise
That's
director
my
for the
dream
crew.
Job. See, forget yeah. the captain. I want to be crew activities
cruise
manager.
Cruise director for the crew.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
How do you, because you have to keep them motivated.
Absolutely.
Too.
And as you said, 1,500 crew, 50 nationalities. So we have a great facility on board for the crew.
Wow, so that's where you're hanging out.
Mm.
Oh, I'm hearing the horn. You hear the horn?
Yeah.
What song is it playing?
No, I think that's coming from our Pirates party. It's just about to get underway downstairs.
Arg.
Big, yeah, exactly.
Oh, God. Okay, Ray Small, the assistant cruise director from South Africa, I might add. A long way from Johannesburg, but
yes.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you so much.
I really appreciate that. Back with more from the Disney Dream, Peter Greenberg Worldwide with you right here. Say arg, and then go to the crew party. Trust me. Back right after this.
Now to talk to Peter Greenberg at 1-888-887-3837 or email him at peter@petergreenberg.com. Segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
Travel Guard Insurance. For travel insurance plans for the unexpected, see your travel agent or visit TravelGuard.com for affordable travel insurance protection from Travel Guard.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
43 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you on board the Disney Dream as we are sailing north from the Bahamas to Port Canaveral, Florida. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88 Peter, and of course, if you can't get through on the phones, you know what to do. You email me and give me your name, your phone number, your question, and your problem so we can solve it right here on the air. One of the things you notice when you interview people from Disney is that almost all the time they're not newcomers. They've been around for quite some time. They're veterans. It's a culture. Some might even say it's a religion to work for Disney. And joining me now is the COO, otherwise known as the Chief Operating Officer for Disney Cruise Line, Tom Olber. Hey, man. How are you?
Hi, Peter. Happy to be here. Good.
So you've been around since when?
I have been around since 89 with Disney.
All right. So basically 21 years.
Absolutely. I
started at Disney. But who's counting?
I am not. I thought I would be here for 2 years.
But you were back right about when they were starting the idea. Or right in the midst of launching the first ship. I mean,
absolutely.
I mean, and wait a minute. You can't say absolutely. We're going to keep everybody's saying absolutely tonight. I'm going to keep. Okay, that was two absolutes for you, two absolutes for Ray. Okay, we're gonna,
it's one for me, but I'll go to totally now.
Thanks so much. Okay. But when Disney started the cruise line, people were saying, you know, what are they doing? Because you got the Big Red Boat before that, which is sort of a marketing partnership, and those were old boats. Those were...
That's correct.
Let's call them what they were, tubs.
They were tubs.
Okay, we agreed?
One sunk.
We know. And the other one was seized.
That's right.
But who's counting?
Yeah, exactly.
Totally. Okay. But bottom line is, you were really the new kids on the block, starting, forgetting the Big Red Boat, because that was they weren't really your ships. These are your ships, and mm-hmm. this is a Disney brand. You had to get in there and say, we got to do it right from day one. What were the mistakes that were made at the beginning? Because it was a brave new world for you.
It was a brave new world, and we really opened the market to family cruising. Before then, cruising was really kind of stigmatized as a very adult type of vacation experience, and we opened it to families. And with the new concepts that we put in, we had a lot of learnings. With the Disney Wonder and the Disney Magic, you mentioned it earlier, our kids programming, we underestimated how much people really expected out of that programming, and we kind of built on it from day one until what it is now, and it got better and better. Same with, we underestimated how important the crew experience, the crew interaction is to our overall guest experience, and we just honed that in and got the right crew. We trained them, and now really the biggest asset of Disney Cruise Line is the crew. I mean, the ships are beautiful, but the crew make them come to life.
Sure. And I will say that the children's programming has come a long way from the very first ship, to the point where I look at it as an opportunity for me for assisted living. I'm ready to just go in there full time. I mean,
you and a lot of other people.
Seriously, I want to sneak in there. I want to play those games. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, with the interactive floor that we have down there. Isn't that cool?
Have you danced on the interactive floor?
Oh, absolutely. I've danced on it.
Did they catch you?
Yeah, I don't jump rope real well.
What's the biggest surprise for you in terms of this particular ship? Things that you think work well that didn't, or things that you think weren't going to work that have been hugely successful?
Well, I think the big surprise is how well the ship flows. And we designed it that way, but it's, you never know until you really put people on there how it actually is going to work. The flow has been working much like we anticipated it. The big surprise to me is how the approach to our district area, the adult nightclubs, how that is working. These clubs are every night jam-packed, whereas if you compare it to the Magic and Wonder, it is kind of a quiet zone. We try to put programming in there, but it is a push to keep them alive. These clubs are alive from the moment they open until 2 a.m. in the morning.
And speaking of adult entertainment, you made a decision from day one on Disney you were not going to put a casino on board the ship.
That is correct. And we have never regretted that. And we have really never been called upon it either. A lot of our adult guests absolutely like it. And a lot of the ports that we go to have casinos. If you go to Nassau, you just go to Atlantis and have a great casino experience.
Well, I want to say I'm so happy you don't have one. I have to tell you how much money I've saved just being on this ship.
Yeah, exactly. If you don't go to Atlantis, you're good.
I'm not going to Atlantis. I'm very good. What's the biggest surprise that the passengers feel when they come on?
On this ship?
Yeah.
I think it's the scale. We have tried to tell people this ship is larger than Magic
and
Wonder.
And they're not expecting how big this ship really is.
They're not. And even if you read the stats, I mean, 15 feet wider doesn't sound like a lot, but when you walk into that atrium, it's massive.
It is massive, and that atrium is big. I love it. You can go bowling in there.
Absolutely, you could.
Tom Wolver, the CEO of Disney Cruise Lines, and I'd like to say on behalf of all of us here at Peter Greenberg, you were a totally, absolutely good guest.
Thank you so much, Peter.
Now get out of here. We'll be back.
Totally.
No, stop it. We'll be back with more from Peter Greenberg Worldwide right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837. Or visit petergreenberg.com. Now back to Peter Greenberg Worldwide.
52 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you on board the Disney Dream. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill, boys and girls. Email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. And we were talking about national parks earlier. I bet you didn't know that what are the 10 top national parks in winter? Number one, Mount Rainier in Washington. Acadia, Maine. I love that in summer as well. Glacier, Montana. Sequoia and Kings Canyon in California. One of my favorites, and boy, I'm telling you, the lodge up there to sit there and look out is amazing, and that's Crater Lake in Oregon. But you always have to call ahead because sometimes they close the roads because it really gets snowy up there. Yellowstone, Montana, and Wyoming, we know about that one. The Grand Canyon, we know about that one. Grand Teton in Wyoming, we know about that one. But the ones that we love, Acadia, Glacier, and Mount Rainier in Washington. So check those out. Let's go to your emails. We've got one from Brenda in Hollywood, Florida. Could you recommend a land tour company for Italy? Well, it depends on what you decide your definition of terms is for a land tour company or an escorted tour. You know, people always get misled many times by brochures that think you're going to be fully escorted or halfway escorted or not escorted at all. And I look for brochure language that's a little scary, like explore on your own. That means you got 7 hours on your own. No one's going to be with you. For some people, that's great. For other people, they panic and they become stricken birds. So, Brenda, before I can answer that, I need you to tell me more about you. How much supervision do you want? How much protection do you want? How much driving do you want on a bus? How much free time do you want? Because other than that, I can't really give you a bona fide great recommendation because I'll be sending you in the wrong direction. So get back to me and tell me what your goals are in terms of your physical ability, how much you want to walk, how much you want to climb, how much you want to relax, and, oh, yeah, how much you want to eat. That's always good, too. One from Tim in Sacramento. Two couples are planning to travel to Germany and Italy, departing May 26th, returning June 11th. What would you recommend for flights? Fly into out of Rome, fly into or out of Rome, and also what is the least expensive city in Germany to fly into or out of? The answer, none. However, I will give you some thoughts here. What you're going to end up doing no matter where you go is buying what we call an open jaw ticket, where you fly into one city in a country, come back from another, and probably complete the middle part of that triangle by train or renting a car. I wouldn't recommend renting the car because you're going between two countries, and sometimes those drop-off charges can be outstandingly bad. But a Eurail pass wouldn't be a bad idea between Germany and Italy. And I've got some secret airports that I love in Germany, one of which is, it's not Frankfurt, no way, it's Dusseldorf. Love that airport. They do a great job. Berlin is great. And so is Munich. Munich does a great job, but I'm a real fan of Dusseldorf, so check that out. And if you want to rent cars, rent them where you know what the drop-off charges are going to be ahead of time, because if you don't, boy, are you going to be in trouble. I know this from personal experience of many years ago, never to make that mistake again. Here's one from Todd in New York City. My wife and I are planning a trip to Europe when I retire this September. We will have about 2 weeks total and want to start in London, then Paris, and end up in Munich for Oktoberfest. So they'll be drinking there. 3 or 4 nights in each place. I would appreciate any advice you could give us, such as where to stay, best way to get. So basically, Todd, you want me to plan your entire trip. Well, I'm not going to do it. But what I will tell you is flying to London first, especially if you're going in September when the fares go down, is a good idea because London gets a lot of traffic that way, meaning in September it doesn't. And then get your Eurail pass, just like I proposed to Tim in Sacramento, and then take that all the way to your furthest point, which would be Munich. So you go to London, then Paris, then Munich, and then fly home. Or if you get a really cheap airfare from London as a round trip, then, of course, use the Eurail pass to get back to London as well, you'll save some money that way. As far as where you're going to stay, your biggest problem is going to be Oktoberfest because that's where all the hotels fill up. And especially in Munich, you might want to go outside of Munich, and if that's where you might want to rent a car, and drive 30 or 40 miles outside of Munich to many different towns in Bavaria there, where the rates won't be as expensive as they will be in Munich. And believe me, they will be expensive in Munich for Oktoberfest. And then just drive in as you need to drive in, or take the train in. Germany is known for great trains. They run on time. Between Germany and Switzerland and France these days, I will take the train any chance I get, because it's a really great deal. So I hope those are helpful hints. And, of course, you can always email me to peter@petergreenberg.com for any more information. And check our website for all that information, which is archived every week, no matter where we are and no matter where we're going. And where we're going right now, we're steaming at about 20 knots, otherwise known as 23 miles an hour, on the Disney Dream on its inaugural cruise between the Bahamas and Port Canaveral. And I hope you're going to have a great rest of your weekend, because right now, believe it or not, we are out of time. Time to thank a couple of people here. Got to thank all the guys here at Disney who helped us so much. Our chief engineer in California, Mike Worrell. Jeff Ryder, who's handing the boards in Connecticut tonight. Of course, Jeff Taylor, our Disney engineer. Shelley Gonscher, our intrepid producer who drew the short straw and actually had to fly to Florida. If you hear that explosion behind me, fireworks every time they can. Annette Gibbs from Disney, Joseph Paris, and the entire Dream team on the Disney Dream. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week from another distant location on the fifth and final weekend in January. Hard to believe. See you later, everybody.
You've been listening to Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com.